Welcome in, everyone. I'm Gerard Romalo, and this is The Vegas Verdict. Here we take a look at local and national issues of interest. We offer legal advice whenever possible, and ultimately we hand down a verdict. Today we are talking about CCSD. Is it too large? Is it time to break up the district? This is a debate and a subject that has been long discussed, dating way back as long as I can remember, and I've been here since the year 2000. We have two guests with us today. Aaron Phillips is here with Power to Parent. Thank you so much for being here. And Gil Murillo is here as well. He is an education advisor and philanthropist, offering a couple of really good perspectives. We're going to get started on this subject in just a moment. But first, let's take a look at this video that explains a little bit about what we're talking about.
The Clark County School District is one of the largest in the nation and also one of the poorest performing, ranking 49th in academic growth and 42nd in graduation rates. With 380 schools and more than 300,000 students, many believe it's time to break up the district. Proponents argue smaller districts could enable more local decision-making, tailoring education to community needs. They also believe it could lead to better resource allocation, addressing specific challenges unique to different areas. However, opponents counter the issue has already been studied.
The data doesn't show that there's any correlation between the size of the district and student outcome.
Lame duck Superintendent Jesus Jara, a longtime opponent, argues a unified district is more capable of offering comprehensive programs and services compared to smaller, fragmented districts.
I'm very disappointed with that ranking. We've had that 49th, 48th ranking as long as I can remember. I said I got here in 2000. I was a reporter for many of those years, 21 of those years, in fact. And I can remember on year one reporting about how we were so low in academic performance. Now, this idea of breaking up the district is one possible solution. One of the ideas that I keep hearing is, you know, we've got to do this because if we just sit here and do nothing, it's like the definition of insanity. We're going to continue to see the same results. Aaron, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on breaking up the district?
Well, I've also been here for a long time, a little bit longer than you, actually. So I graduated high school about 25 years ago, if you can believe it, and here in Clark County. And I remember this conversation happening even back then. So this is a 30-year-old conversation we've been having.
Right.
The size of the district was even smaller back then also. So you have to think, you know, there's been a massive amount of growth to the city and also the district, even since this conversation started 30 years ago. So I think, you know, my opinion just broadly is that I think we continue to throw money at this district, and I think you see that there's a lot of inequity in this district already, which is one of the main arguments against breaking up the district.
Right.
And so I think what we're looking at here is that we really need to be able to give the districts a better way to respond to the kids. So
yeah.
When you have this many kids, 300 plus thousand kids, you are not meeting the needs of the individual students as quickly and as efficiently as if there were smaller districts. And you see this modeled on a smaller level, really, in the charter school world.
Mm. Gil, you bring a unique perspective because you had a special needs child. You grew up in California, right?
That's correct.
And so one of the concerns is, you know, and Aaron brought this up too, is where's the money going to go? If we break up the district, you know, how does that mean less money for certain groups in particular, maybe kids with special needs?
Well, I'd like to kind of first address about some of that history because I've been doing some research on that. So, you know, we got to remember that Las Vegas at one time was just one major city.
Mm.
And if cities like Boulder, Henderson, you know, there were just small communities.
Right.
So just like LA County, you know, where you had basically everything was concentrated in a central area, you also have perimeter communities, suburban communities. Mm. So this is why you have such a wide net of regards for like a school district control. Now, you know, when you look at 25% of your kids being on either IEPs, you know, we've already, they require individual education plans or right. 504 behavioral plans, it kind of looks at that's a high percentage. And then from there, you can't really omit that from the, you know, from when you start looking at how you break up the district, because services need to be delivered. They require that by the IDEA.
Right.
And then from there, and based upon federal law, they're entitled to a free and appropriate education. So I think when you look at it a whole, a true analysis needs to be broken down. Now, AB 400 was introduced, which was signed by the governor, which creates these quasi areas in North Las Vegas mm-hmm. and Henderson are two communities that are going to be taking advantage of that, where they're going to actually create, the city can actually manage their own charter schools.
Yeah.
It takes away from the CCSD, it takes away from the current school district. And then from there, so there's some more empowerment at this local level than it was with the school district in the past.
Right.
And I think
it's
going to be a big change. So I think when we start seeing that outcome.
No question, there will be a lot of changes. And there will be, you know, there will be some math problems that need to be solved. And you know, one of the questions is, well, who's going to get the money that comes from the Strip, which is the biggest, you know, source of tax revenue? Is it divided up equally, or do, you know, because Henderson students do quite well compared to other regions. You know, Summerlin students do pretty well compared to other regions. Do they get equal amounts, or does you know, North Las Vegas or East Las Vegas, do they get a certain amount? Is it based on need? And then who determines that need? One of the real concerns, I think, that exists with the idea of breaking up the district is, and we've all been critical of the one administration and the one set of trustees and the one superintendent. Let's say we break it up and now we've got four or five, you know, the bureaucracy has just gone up by five times. Do we have five times the problem potentially that we have now? And in addition to the math problem, what's your thought on that, Erin?
Well, so I'm going to address the math problem first, because I don't think, by no means am I a funding expert. So
this is
my opinion, but based on what I've observed. But what I do know is that we have recently, we fixed the funding formula in Nevada as a state, so that really the funding now does follow the student. And now that funding isn't funneled off into a rainy day fund or any other fund. It's going to stay with education. And so that's a huge change. That's something that was a very bipartisan effort to really make sure that that is happening. So, so from that perspective, you know, now we have that funding that really follows the student, you know, that we have been asking for a long time. So there's that. I think when you look at the states, the counties or the cities, like North Las Vegas, for example, they want to secede from the school district.
Mm-hmm.
They see that the district's not serving their students, and they believe that they can serve them. And so same thing with Henderson. And if you look at those two cities, you could say, you know, North Las Vegas has higher rates of teacher shortages, lower income families, those types of things. They have more challenges, more Title I schools and a lot of challenges, and yet they still think that they can do a better job running their schools.
Right.
So when you look at the way that kids are zoned right now, we have zip code zoning, right? So it's old school. We're looking at like old redlining, you know, where it's, you are relegated to the school that you are zoned for, regardless of it's meeting your needs, and you really have no other choices, especially if you're in an area that you don't have transportation, you couldn't afford a private school, or you can't homeschool.
Right,
and so these families are the ones who are being the most underserved, but and have the least choices. And so if you look at when you secede from a district, that zoning isn't going to change a lot. So from my perspective, I think that it's going to allow the schools and the districts to be more responsive, as I said, meet the needs of those students and have better eyes on what's happening within their district. That being said, I don't think breaking up the district is going to solve all of our problems.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
And this is where I come in with a school choice argument, which is another show.
We're going to talk about school choice definitely as we move forward. Here's the thing. We had an attempt to try to get it on the ballot here in 2024, mm-hmm. over 200,000 signatures, but then, which is enough to meet the need required,
correct.
But it wasn't broken up, according to the Secretary of State's office, according to the districts, the numbers didn't, to me that sounded like a technicality, and it doesn't necessarily reflect what, you know, what the whole wants. And,
yeah.
and you know, that sounds like politics as usual mm-hmm. to me. The point is, I think people are ready for this. You know, they're tired of you know, let's just kick the can down the road, you know? And I also want to get into this idea of the union, which is a whole other can of worms. They have a lot of power. They kind of dictate where money goes and who's getting paid what. And I'm wondering if they just have too much power. They've had it for too long. And I'm not seeing the results there, you know, to validate, I guess, that level of power. Gil, give me your thoughts on that.
I think you're both on good points there, especially the union has a high amount of influence, both at the local and also at the state level. You see that during legislation caucus. So, you know, they're there in numbers. There's right now a measure that's going to be coming up where a teacher is going to be allowed to strike, where right now they're not allowed to. And so that's going to, you know, that's going to change the dynamics. But we put so much emphasis on, you know, what the schools are wrong. We also have to look at what they're doing right. There's some great outcomes that are happening.
I agree with that. And there are some great teachers. I don't want this to, and that's part of, I take offense when I see on the news, oh, you're 49th, you're terrible, your schools are terrible. And I hear that from people that I know in California or people that I know in Texas. And I don't want that reputation. And I know that there are good teachers out there. I think the problems are actually much deeper than just the idea of breaking up the district. And I want to, we're going to take a short break here, and we're going to talk more when we come back. We're going to talk about the idea of school choice and also the idea of parental involvement or the lack thereof, and how that influences and how that plays a role on the academic performance of our young people. So we'll take a short break here, and we'll be back right after this.
If you've been injured in an accident, you don't have to go it alone. At Paul Pata Law, we understand your injuries aren't just physical. They also bring financial burden and emotional strain. At our firm, it's not just about legal representation. It's about genuine care and commitment. Lock in the attention you deserve from your attorney. We'll get you on the path to recovery. Call Paul Pata Law. Legal security when you need it.
Welcome back, everyone. You're watching The Vegas Verdict. This is a local podcast where we discuss local and national issues of interest. Today, we're talking about the Clark County School District and what should be done to improve the academic outcomes of our district. Everything from breaking up the district to what we want to get into now is this idea of school choice. Full disclosure, I'm a proponent of the idea. I've watched what has happened in places like Florida. They've had great success with it. I personally believe that if we have school choice, you're going to create a competition between the charters and the privates and the public schools. And, you know, Aaron, you're kind of the champion of this idea of school choice. I think it will raise the bar for everyone involved, you know. Give me your thoughts on it.
Well, you know, we always say that school choice sort of raises all tides, because when you look at the data in states like Florida, who have had really robust school choice programs for a number of years, you can see that there's an improvement in test scores, even for those kids who remain in the public school. And so there's this argument that school choice defunds public school and we have to keep the lights on in public school. No, we have to educate our kids. We actually don't have to keep the lights on in public school if those schools are failing our kids. So, but there's no accountability right now, because you're just really seeing, I mean, since 2018, we were 35th in the country in regards to education. That year, they passed the largest tax hike in Nevada history. And that next year, we plummeted to 50th. We have continued to add money towards education since that 2019, and we have remained at 50th. Yeah. And so, you know, now we've fixed the funding formula. Almost 2 years later after that, we've seen almost zero improvement overall in the district were continuing to be 49th, 50th. You know, it's really, really, where is the accountability for the money that our taxpayers are on the hook for?
Yeah.
No other industry would you see anything like this. You know, if you are, the accountability is if you don't provide the product for your customers, you go out of business.
Yeah.
Someone buys you and out and they take over your business and they make it successful. That isn't the case in education.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
I would argue it's not the case in government largely. Mm-hmm. I mean, other industries, there is an accountability.
Yeah.
And if your product doesn't sell, then you can't sell that product anymore. There has to be some return on the investment. Otherwise the product goes away. Right. And, mm-hmm. and, but not in the case of most government entities, and in particular education. Is money the solution, Guild? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, money is always a solution. That's the problem that we have in this society. That's the big driver.
Money has influence. We know that.
Yeah. So, in regards to, when it comes to school choice, I think the charter, when you look at the charter schools, especially here in Nevada, they are the best performing outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're making it based on the little, the stipend that they're getting from the state.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, when you concentrate how a public school would be, they have to kind of like in a way be like a corporation. They have to restructure themselves in order to meet that kind of like demand, because school has forgotten that the parents are the main drivers.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
School feels that they are the main drivers.
100%.
They feel like this is the content you should read. This is the content that you need to have. This is the and it really needs to be a collaboration between the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're all product from public schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then from there, and based upon that, if we look at how we were, brought, I remember reading 1984, Jonathan Lewis Siegel. I mean, all these classic books are sometimes now banned, And then, the concept was not about, this misled story. It's really about understanding, that the plot and the structure of the writer.
And
our kids aren't even getting that today. But you go to like the private schools, you go into the charter schools, you're seeing great outcomes. And I think
that's
should
where
have the right.
The choice element is what's really attractive to me. And I remember, again, covering the school choice concept kind of early on, and one of the arguments against it initially was, there's no social outlet. There won't be a prom. There's no school band. There's no sports team. All of that is out the window because there are now organized. So, there's community bands and there's club sports and there's various social outlets. And there are church groups that have bigger proms than a lot of the schools. So that part is no longer an argument, but we still are up against it. And I think, again, money is part of the issue.
If we can bring it back to money for a second, I think if you look at a state like Florida, they have very similar funding to a state like Nevada. And so what happened is they were very low in education as well. They passed school choice policies, and it wasn't that they added more funding, is that school choice does more with less. And so now Florida, I think, is third on the list of outcomes with similar funding as Nevada down at the 50th. And so the people who are saying we have to, quote unquote, fully fund public education before we can, bring more choices to families. But we've tried to, quote unquote, fully
fund it. We've
been doing
that for years. Yeah.
Continue to throw money at it. And we know that if you are looking at school choice policies, they do more with less because they are, again, there's accountability. And it really, requires these schools to compete for the kids. And so it's not about butts and seats as much as it's about outcomes for the kids. And so if you're a parent and this school's not working for you, you're going to go to a different school because you have the ability to do that with that funding. Right now, parents don't have that ability, so they can continue to fail. And there's really no reason for the school to do anything differently. There's no accountability.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Another driver, and we kind of touched on this too, of poor performance, I personally believe, is breakdown of the family, because a lot of kids get into trouble when they're not in class. What do you do post class that continues to, make you a better person and a better student? And I was fortunate to grow up in a home where I was involved in after school activities, whether it be sports or band, and my parents made us do our homework, but a lot of families don't have that. We've dealing with a lot of fatherless homes, or motherless homes. It really, they just don't have that influence. And you know, there are socioeconomic issues there that you can't deny. I'd like to see, frankly, for my tax dollars, I'd like to see an investment in some kind of after school, after traditional hours, mentorship program, vocational training, something, you know, maybe it's more funds for school, you know, after school bands and after school sports and after school activities where you're learning responsibility. You're part of a team, you're part of a music group, you're responsible for showing up and you're part of a team and you're learning that concept when you do those things. Gil, give me your thoughts on that. I got on soapbox there for a minute.
Definitely this is a whole weekend conversation.
Yeah.
But if you look at families today, unfortunately cost of living is very high. We're in a big, you know, inflation, you know, and then from there, I don't want to get into that level, but it does cost a lot, you know, rent costs, and then a lot of families are single parents or multi-generational.
Sure.
You know, and so when a child comes home, you know, maybe that job is to take care of the grandparent. Maybe that job is to do the chores, you know, and the parents maybe has one, half, two jobs. So the engagement comes back to, does a parent really understand how to engage with the school system? Mm. Does a parent asking the questions? You know, I remember coming home and that from there was always something to eat that my mom had.
Yeah.
And the question is, okay, get your books out.
Mm-hmm. And we're fortunate in that sense. Not everyone has grown up that way. In fact, we have, I know this because there's a group called Project 150 that is a nonprofit that deals with homeless young people, homeless teens mostly. And I know one of my good friends grew up that way. He was a homeless teenager and couch surfed and did whatever he could. You know, he did quite well. But this is a real issue. And that's an issue that sadly is growing. The numbers are up year over year.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this is a big, I would behoove just not to mention, this is what my organization really does. Is our goal is to empower parents. And the number one reason we know that that's important is because kids are more successful when they have engaged parents. That's the number one indicator of success, more than funding, more than anything else, is parent involvement.
Right.
And so, you know, we have really focused on our programs, like our Fatherhood Project program, to go in and show parents, show dads specifically, that their involvement in their child's lives does equal success in their child's lives down the road. It's very, very important. And so we know that for sure. I think there needs to be a bigger investment in those types of programs. And I'm going to make a plug, you know, here because we can't do it for free, but we have an incredible program. We are going to be partnering with Hope for Prisoners, bringing this program to
which has a great success rate, by the way. Yeah. They're the post-prison release. Mm-hmm. You guys probably know about it, John Ponder's group. But it's mentorship, it's education, it's job training, it's a transition service, but it's very targeted. And that's what I think we're missing is a targeted approach to these kids that are lacking some kind of family dynamic.
The role in their lives is so—it's so important, and I think just even reminding people who have been behind bars, incarcerated, or you know, who are recovering from drugs and alcohol, that it's not too late; that you still have time to engage and to be the parent
100%.
You are meant to be. Yeah,
100%. Gil, what do you think about this idea of having a cultural influence and making it, you know, if we had billboards that said, "Hey, be involved," you know what I mean?
I think we're starting to see that happen. I mean, a lot of the schools, middle schools and high schools, have mariachis.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
which has been successful too.
Yeah. It's been really great in uniting families together, understanding and doing some empowerment with the parents.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that is a good start. I have to go back to your program. I mean, it's all about empowering the parent, making sure the parent understands.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to promote your, but
please do.
It's one of the things where, if you really talk to, I've done a couple of career days, you know, where we've gone to the schools, and then from there, especially like the fourth and fifth grade, that's my target. And I ask, okay, what do you want to be? Okay.
Yeah.
It's either Elon Musk, influencer.
Yeah. I want to be Elon Musk too. He's doing some pretty fun things, you know.
And then from there, I was like, okay, so how are you going to get there?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's the step? But they don't understand that the principles behind it. The problem is that there's no one at home talking to them about
Right.
You know,
I just came up with a concept. Why don't we start a campaign and we'll call it Improve Your GPI, getting parents involved. You know, maybe something along those lines can, you know, can get some legs and can take off. And we'll just say we came up with it right here and we're going to initiate it. And we'll see where it goes.
Let's trademark it.
There you go. Well, we're getting close to our verdict time. So we're going to take another break here. We'll come back right after this. We'll issue our verdict on whether or not it is time to break up the school district. We'll be back after this.
Legal troubles require swift action, and there's only one attorney who's quick on his feet.
Legal troubles don't wait, and neither should you. I'm Tony Abbotangelo, a former judge with 30 years experience. I know the judicial system, and I know what will work for you in court.
When your circumstance requires a skilled negotiator who knows the law, tap into Tony. He's a former judge who can defend your rights. Call 707-7000.
All right, we are back, and today we are talking about the Clark County School District. Is it too big? Is it time to break up the district? We have two guests with us today. Aaron Phillips is here with Power to Parent, and Gil Murillo, an advocate and a philanthropist and someone who's been very involved in school districts. And also, you have a son with special needs. So
that's
you had
correct.
Some particular challenges as your son grew up through the schools. And so we appreciate both of your perspectives here today. Just want to have some final thoughts on the idea of breaking up the district. Ladies first, Aaron, we'll start with you.
Thank you. You know, I think that it's a part of the puzzle here. It's just a piece of the puzzle. We need to break up the school district. We need to give the cities the ability to be responsive to their students. And also, we have to look at other solutions like school choice, where really these families can choose to go to schools that are meeting their needs as opposed to relegating them to failing schools.
Yeah. Yeah. Gil, how about you?
Well, I think, like I mentioned before, is we're starting. I think Henderson, North Las Vegas are going to be, you know, where charter schools can be established by the local city council. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a good footprint to kind of see how that will look as tomorrow if the school district should be broken up.
Yeah. I expect success eventually because I think the public will demand it. You know, we're tired of hearing 49th, you know, 48th, whatever, near the bottom. We deserve better than that. And I just want to put this out there as well. Nobody here wants public schools to fail. I want them to succeed. I want them to have the resources. But we need to do something to help improve them. This isn't a charters versus public schools. It's let's have these options and parents can choose which one is right for them, which one is, you know, convenient, which one is closer, which one makes more sense, but let's have them all succeed if possible. That's my thought. So I think we're just about ready to hand down a verdict. This is very simple. I'm gonna count down from three, and then we will say either yes or no to the idea of should we break up the school district. So here's the question. Should we break up the Clark County School District in 3, 2, 1?
No.
Yes. Okay, so we've got a hung jury here today. We've got two yeses and one no. Give me your thoughts on the no real quick before we wrap up.
I'm really concerned about families that are impacted with special needs children.
Okay.
There has to be a really kind of defined transition plan. When you look at 25%, you know, of a community that's, 440,000 students, that's a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
And then from
yeah.
there, you know, it'd be one of the things where if the parents have the ability to channel the dollars where it was, let's say, a parent's choice,
yeah.
that would be a different story. But it's all about, you know, but I think the two challenges that it has is, number one is, you know, how many specialists are those that exist that are private, that are willing to work with school
yeah.
districts?
Yeah.
And also the second area is that our, you know, the charter schools are not really designed to work with special needs children. So it really, that falls really with the public school
yeah.
system.
I think realistically, we know that there's going to be a lot of work to be done still.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your answer, and maybe, you know, the appropriate answer is not yet. I don't know, but I think we need to do something. Erin, your final thoughts?
You know, my final thoughts are in the Clark County School District right now, 1 in 10 black students can really are proficient in math. Mm. And I think if we're looking at equity, there's nothing that I can see in the numbers right now that are very equitable for our kids. Mm. The school district is failing our kids. And so I think no matter what we do, we have to do something different. We can't continue to do the same thing expecting different results. And really, I think the adults have to get out of the way and stop finding reasons why it won't work.
Right.
It's not working right now.
Right.
So really anything that we do is going differently than what we've been doing for the last 30, 40 years is going to help our kids. We've got to start thinking about the kids. And I think right now our kids are really failing. We are failing this generation of kids.
Doesn't mean there aren't going to be challenges moving forward, but we can't do
Absolutely.
The same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to crawl before you can walk.
Yeah.
You know, we have to find that stage where there are going to be challenges. We're going to have to go back and fix things, but you have to start.
Wonderful. Erin Phillips, thank you so much. Gil Murillo, thank you so much for joining us. You've been watching The Vegas Verdict. Catch us on Spotify, Amazon, and Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We also have a YouTube channel, and you can check us out on our website, vegasverdict.com. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.